This morning's lesson is entitled The Called Out. Particularly in Romans, in the book of Romans, the verse that was just read, verse 37 through 39, know in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor power nor heights nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, when this was written, that term conqueror was a big deal. I mean, it was the height of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was established by conquerors. And the writer there in Romans, Paul tells the Roman Christians there that we are more than conquerors, greater than those ruling over us, through Him who loved us, through God. The called out. The Greek word there is ekklesia. I don't think anybody's ever really described me as an exceptionally smart person. I don't think I've ever been accused of overthinking anything. So when it comes to Greek stuff, I've studied a few classes, and believe me, if I can get any of it, you can. This is not a Greek lesson. I do want to look at this word, ekklesia, though. The top one is the way it looks in the ancient Greek. The middle there, ekklesia, is how it would be written in English. And the literal meaning there is the called out. This is often used, in fact, when it's used in the Bible, it's used in reference to an assembly of God's people, a gathering, a church. We would be ekklesia. We would be the assembly, the church. In the Bible, though, that word ekklesia has a little deeper meaning than just simply an assembly. The term, the called out, means a lot more in view of God's word when He references those that are called out or the ekklesia. And so this morning in our lesson, we're going to look at two different areas here. We're going to look at what we've been called out of and also what we've been called into. The first thing we've been called out of, I have listed there, number one on the handout, the world. We have been called out of the world. If you look in James chapter 4, and have your Bibles ready. We're going to be turning to quite a few verses this morning. But James chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verse 4. It says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." This is a very difficult verse, really. Kind of steps on some toes. We live in a world that doesn't mind church. It really doesn't mind church. As long as it's that 1 hour a week that we go and do our church thing, and then when we leave church, it's forgotten about. It's just a little block of our life. Total misconception of what church is. Hopefully we understand that church is actually not a building or a place we gather, but is us. We are the church. And instead of it being a moment of our lives, our relationship with God is all of our lives. Every second of our life. Everything is done for Him and because of Him. Every moment we spend outside of this church building, every moment we spend is one that we dedicate to God. And when we come here for this 1 hour of worship, it's not our only time of church. And instead, it is the height of our experience of worshiping God. The world doesn't mind church, but it wants church in its proper place. It wants church to be just something we do once a week, and when we leave, it's over. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. That's one of my favorite verses of the Bible. In fact, if you come to that retreat for our young people at Camp Wiregrass in a couple weeks, November 10th to 12th, there is a class that is actually about this. Let's talk about this verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Do not be conformed to this world. You know, we're going to stand out. If we obey God's word, we're going to look different than the world. We're going to stand out. We're not going to fit in. But you know, our Lord didn't either. Our Lord didn't fit in. And we're trying to be like our Lord. Maybe if we do fit in, if we do get real comfortable in this world, Maybe we should reevaluate some things. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 17, says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." We have been called out of this world. John 17, verse 16, there's a recording there of prayer that Jesus prayed. John 17 is a beautiful chapter. And in that prayer, verse 16, he acknowledges that his apostles were in the world, but they certainly were not of the world. I think that's the description we should have as well. We are in this world. It's something we're going through. A moment of our eternity. But we're not of this world. We are of a kingdom that's going to last far longer than this world. It's going to stand much stronger, much firmer than this world. We are in a kingdom. We're called to be in a kingdom that God has saved. All right, number two. And we're going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 6 to look at this. But the second thing we're called out of is sin. And this seems simple enough, but I really want to look at that idea a little deeper and see how it may apply to our lives even now. Romans chapter 6. Paul here writes some pretty aggressive language here. He writes, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin may be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as one who has been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace." We have been called out of sin. We know that there is forgiveness of sin. There's salvation offered by God. There's a freeing from the guilt of sin offered by God. But yet, we slip and we stumble. We fall right back into sin. We struggle with things that are supposed to be dead to us. Paul here compares sin and uses it kind of an idea of slavery. That once we have been forgiven of our sins, because we've been crucified with Christ, because we've been baptized, that we should be free from the chains of the slavery of sin. Now, what is this slavery of sin? You know, with the young people, the hot topics in alcohol, drugs, sex. Well, the big two you see all the time with the young people, the drugs and alcohol that we see running rampant in our streets, in our neighborhoods, in our schools even. They always start out fun, don't they? But then you look at the drug addict who wishes, "Now I'd never experienced that fun." He's a slave to it. He's addicted to it. That's what sin does. If it wasn't ever fun, it wouldn't be a temptation. But sin becomes something that we hate, that we despise, that we're stuck with. We can't shake it off. And Paul writes that when we have become a Christian, crucified the old self, then, at that moment, we've been freed from the slavery of sin. Freed. That's a big deal. To go from slavery to freedom. And yet, we have freedom right there. We still sometimes turn back to that sin. We willingly grab the chains and lock ourselves in. Why? So we've been called from that. We have an opportunity to put that behind us. We've been freed from that. And Paul would suggest to us to not continue in sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And there, I read from the English Standard in verse 2, it says, by no means. I think there's some verses that say, God forbid. There's really not an accurate translation for that term, whatever is written in the Greek there. The idea is a very emphatic, loud yelling no. That's what Paul means by that. The most, however you can stress that word, no. Shall we continue in sin? He is saying absolutely not. He's shaking us by our shoulders and telling us no. Because he knows what we know too. If you let sin back into your lives, it can quickly drag you back down to slavery. So we've been called from that world, called from sin. And the next thing, and kind of along the same lines, we've been called out of hopelessness. You know, without God, without being part of the ecclesia, without being part of the called out, we don't have hope. We know that the things in this world eventually lead to death. There's nothing in this world of this world that lasts beyond the grave. I've said it before. You can't, whatever hobby you have, whatever job you have, whatever you love to do in this world, you can't do that thing to get to heaven. If it's not God, if it's not Jesus, there is no hope in the long run. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't fish your way to heaven. You can't golf your way to heaven. You can't shop your way to heaven. Jesus is the only way. And when we are part of his called out, part of the ecclesia, we're called out of hopelessness. And now we're going to look at the things we're called into. Number one, we're called into the body of Christ. Out of the world, out of sin, out of hopelessness, into the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it should be verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Called to one hope. We have been called to the body of Christ. And we look at the demonstration, the illustrations given by Paul here in Romans. If you throw it to Romans chapter 12, you see the idea there, the body of Christ being made up of multiple members. If you look at beginning verse 3, for by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who acts of mercy, who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. One body. You know, I fortunately have all of my body parts. I've injured a couple from time to time, but I have all my body parts. I'm very thankful for that. It's been suggested to me, if I ever think that there's a part of my body that isn't important, just cut it off and see what happens. We are the body of Christ. If you think you have an importance in this church, you're sadly mistaken. Every person has something to offer. Every person has a gift or ability. And thankfully, it's all different. We all have different abilities. And it's a good thing we do, because that's going to allow us to reach different people. I tell our young people all the time, they actually are the ones that are going to reach other young people with Christ. It's not going to be me. If I walk up to a young person and they find out who I am and I try to tell them about Jesus, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. They expect that. It's nothing special. But when our young people go out and tell other young people about Jesus, that's special. That's how souls are going to be won. Each person has gifts and abilities, maybe even circumstances in their life that are going to allow them to utilize their gifts to reach other people that I can't reach, that you can't reach. We're all going to be able to reach people and use our gifts and abilities in different ways that are unique to us. And it's important to remember that we're called into the body of Christ. That's a saved body, the church. And it's a body full of variety. It's full of differences. But yeah, it's one body. We need to understand that we're called out of the world. We're called into the body of Christ. We are unique. We are different. We are the called out. Next thing we're called into. We're called out of sin into righteousness. Back in Romans chapter 6, we looked at that being called out of sin. We looked at all of that, the idea there that sin is slavery. And now we're going to look there in verse 15 how we are called into righteousness. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Again, there's that word, by no means. God forbid. Really loud no. Do you not know that if you present your bodies to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. So wait a second. You're telling me, yeah, I'm supposed to be free from the slavery of sin, but all of a sudden I'm a slave to righteousness? Is that any better? Well, if you look at what Paul says there, he says he's speaking in human terms. The fact is, you are going to serve someone. You're going to serve someone, either yourself and Satan or God. And ultimately, serving God is slavery to righteousness. It says there, the very last phrase, leading to sanctification. That word sanctification, a state of being set apart. And that's leading right back to that body, that ecclesia, the called out. It's that path of righteousness, slavery to righteousness, that leads to us being a part of the body of Christ and eventually having a home in heaven. It's really not slavery. Turns out it's really just an investment. You're actually looking out for yourself when you do that, because with Christ is eternal life. And all the things in this world you can think of that have good things, you know, a good paying job leads to money. Money could lead to a nice home, a nice car, providing for the family. It can lead to even writing big checks for the congregation you attend with. Great things can come from that. But none of that compares to heaven. None of it. Heaven is eternal. And so even though we may read this and think slavery to righteousness, that is the path to freedom. That is the path to eternal life. We've been called out of sin into righteousness. And then the last thing this morning, we've been called out of hopelessness into heaven. Philippians chapter 3, we're looking at verse 20, Philippians 3. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject all things to Himself. You know, a set of Jesus in Romans chapter 6, verses we read earlier, it was said of Him that He has died and He's been resurrected, been raised, to never die again. And it says there that we too, when we've been buried with Him in baptism, that we come out of that watery grave, raised from the dead, just like Him, to never die again. And though we will eventually experience a physical death, spiritually, the death has already been done. It's already over. For us, physical death is just a step into a spiritual eternity. And it's that being called into heaven. It's being part of the ecclesia, the called out. That is the path to heaven. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. Someone who has lived a full life, someone who has walked with Christ his entire life and one day steps into eternity saved. It's a wonderful story. And I want that story to reach one of us in here. This morning, please evaluate your life this morning. You have been called out of the world into the body of Christ. You've been called away from sin into righteousness. You have been called out of hopelessness and into heaven. And I hope this morning you will answer that call. If you haven't already, please answer that call. This morning, if there's something separating you from Christ, please remove that from your life. Please, if you have a need, let us help you with that. think about it and decide. And while you decide, let's all stand and sing.